it's the Mike Tech Show, show number 574. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. I have a great voicemail that follows up on my Synology discussion and the NAS Red drives, giving options that I did not cover in the show. So perfect, great, great follow-up voicemail. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, facebook.com/MikeTechShow. I have a jam-packed show tonight. I'm getting on my soapbox, and I'm going to be blasting Microsoft for a couple things. Not just the forced Windows 10, but what I dealt with tech support last night is a disgrace. I have to cover that. And then I have the voicemail I'll get to, and then a couple great emails that are follow-ups to some topics and some things that's been happening. Before we get started, if you need remote support for your clients, for your business, you have to check out Instant House Call. You can go to instanthousecall.com, download the free trial for 15 days, use the promo code MikeTechShow. You will love it. Not only the unattended access, you can have a landing page built for you. They can go to that landing page, easily download the client. They can click start session, connect with you, and now you can take over and do everything you need. You can reboot the system. You can even do a forced reboot for an emergency if things go wrong. You can even reboot in safe mode, and you could do this all from an easy menu. Again, go to instanthousecall.com, check it out. My week started out with panic phone calls from clients who are on peer-to-peer networks that the forced Windows 10 happened, where Microsoft's guerrilla tactics in jamming Windows 10 down everybody's throat. I get the idea that we want everybody on a common platform, that we want everybody more secure. I understand, but you can't force it on someone when they have software applications that are not compatible, that just absolutely will not work with Windows 10. And the software manufacturer has not updated the software. And we don't know if they are. I have a law firm that was almost put out of business on Monday when the forced upgrade hit. It's a disgrace. It shouldn't be allowed. Not forced, and not as they snuck it in the guise of a security patch where they now are making it a required download. But we have the answer to this. And Taz Cool was the first one to really send me this a while back. And I remember looking at an old version of the GWX control panel, which we're going to dive into tonight. The latest version is so much better and so much easier to run, and it is the answer when you're on a peer environment like half my clients are. I have clients that have Active Directory and servers and WSUS. They're okay. That's easy to manage. That's not a problem. But I have a tough time automating and managing the peer environment. So I want to thank Marvin B., the man in the van, who is MB Systems Inc. in the chat. Him and I will be actually doing some sessions together at the conference in July. So stay tuned for more info on the conference from July 22nd to the 24th in Toronto, the Unconference. I mentioned what was happening with my clients on Wednesday morning on our conference call, and Marv to the Rescue sent me some great emails with the links and the information, and I'm going to review it right now. If you're using WSUS server in your network, users will not see the Windows update icon, which is great. That's fine by me. And I have clients that are using the WSUS with a server in an Active Directory environment. If you blocked Microsoft Update KB3035583 previously, which I did on with some clients, it will no longer work. It has been updated to KB139929, and that is the new update that needs to be blocked. However, some people have said that blocking the update did not work, and they still saw the icon. I'm actually one of those people. There are probably several updates that Microsoft has hidden the update inside of, especially if you're using Internet Explorer 11. Users have been seeing the icon since March 8th, the last patch Tuesday. If users on a network already see the update, you may have to manually touch each station to use the GWX control panel to remove the icon and all of the update files. I'm going to have a link to where you can download the latest version of the GWX control panel. It's a phenomenal program, and I've already been using it on client machines, including my own right here, and it's working. You must get the latest version of the GWX control panel last updated January 24th, 2016. You do not need to install the control panel locally. It can be installed and run from a USB flash drive for standalone computers on a network shared drive for network computers. Once you start the GWX control panel, select the following items at a minimum. Now, there's more items, but at a minimum, you want to click to disable Get Windows 10 app. You want to click to delete Windows 10 download folders. Click to deny Windows 10 upgrades, and then click to delete Windows 10 programs. Now, I'm going to launch the control panel right here on my system. There's a lot of options. You get a great status of what the situation is. Is Get Windows 10 icon app running? I have no. Is Get Windows 10 icon app enabled? No. Are Windows 10 upgrades allowed? No. So I've already ran this utility and you can see the status. There's another option where you can disable non-critical Windows 10 settings. You can click to change the Windows update settings. Lots of great little options here. You want to download it and run it, and this is if you want to block Windows 10. I understand some of the intentions of Microsoft to unify and get the latest, greatest operating system out there to everybody, because a lot of people are not going to go through the effort to do the upgrade. If you're a home user, that's fine. But in an office environment where there's critical applications that cannot run under Windows 10, or maybe there's expensive devices like a $15,000 plotter that there's no Windows 10 driver. Well, those engineers at my one office cannot update. They can't, because now they're going to brick a $15,000 plotter. These are just some of the things. I know, and I've gotten emails from people, Mike, why don't you just embrace Windows 10? No, it's not me not embracing Windows 10. I got clients that will be put out of business if they go Windows 10 right now. It's very important that if you are in that situation where you cannot install Windows 10 or allow Windows 10 to be installed, you need this program. This is a must download to have on your USB stick. There's a couple more things here I want to talk about that Marv shared with me. And as a matter of fact, one of them is very important for how to change the policy, because there's an article that I'm also going to share that admins beware. Domain-detached PCs are sprouting to get Windows 10 ads. They're putting ads in front of my domain users for wanting to click to upgrade to Windows 10. These tactics, they have to stop. In response to that, I'm taking what Marv put together and I'm making a text file that's going to be linked in the show notes going over the exact instructions that I'm going to talk about here. On the server, you have to go to policy path, computer configuration, administrative templates, Windows components, Windows update policy. The setting, turn off the upgrade to the latest version of Windows through Windows update. So one, click the computer configuration. Two, click policies. Click administrative templates. Click Windows components. Then click Windows update. Then double click, turn off the upgrade to the latest version of Windows through Windows update. Then click enable. Those steps, I'm putting in a text file and you can download it from tonight's show notes. I want to thank Marvin for taking the time to hook me up with all of this information. I greatly appreciate it, and I'm putting it to use. Thank you very, very much. While we're stomping on Microsoft, let's continue. As many of you know, I purchased, when they came out, the Surface Pro 3, and I love it. It's great. But about 4 months ago, I noticed something, and shame on me for not calling support early enough. I have the following problem with my Surface Pro 3. My power adapter, when it's plugged and I'm getting a light, so the power adapter works, the computer says 60% computer's plugged in but not charging. If you remove the power plug, it just shuts down. So there's no battery. Now, there's a lot of fixes online, and Microsoft has posted a few things to try. I have tried them all. You have to make sure you have the latest Windows 10 updates. This is Windows 10 Pro on my Surface Pro 3. I have all the updates. Another one is to force a reboot by holding the volume up and holding the power button. I've done that. Remove the battery option from device manager. Reboot so it auto installs. Done that. I've followed every instruction to the letter. No joy in any of those attempts. So last night, I decide I'm going to call Microsoft Surface support. And I know it's Microsoft calling me because I go online to the chat and I put my phone number in. Microsoft calls me back. I'm on hold for a few minutes. I give them my serial number. I understand the tech making me do everything that I just said I did. I understand I'm not happy with doing all those steps again, but I did them anyway. I followed his steps to the letter. Here's where it gets murky. It's still not working. I said, I need a replacement unit. I said, I've been down this road. I've done everything. He says, there's one last thing I want you to do. Can we reset the system back to the factory default? And I think about this for a minute. I have all my data backed up. There's nothing really I care about, but I really don't want to do it. My gut, my heart says, don't do it. The little voice on my shoulder is whispering in my ear saying, don't do it, Mike. Don't do it. The guy made me do it. We were not going to go any further. I should have lied. I should have said I did it. I should have waited, said it's all done, logged in, and still had the same problem. But I didn't do that. I didn't lie. I actually said, you know what? Let's do a fresh, let's do a reset. It bricked my Surface Pro 3 after 2 hours of waiting where it was stuck at 2%. We turned it off, never to boot again. It will not boot. The Surface logo comes up, and it's an endless loop in booting. I said, you got to replace this. It's at this time, I'm not making this up. Now he tells me that my hardware was out of warranty on February 4th of 2016, and you're going to have to pay for the replacement. And the replacement cost is $450. I said, no. I was a little more forceful than no. I went nuts. And then I dialed it back and said, I want you to connect me to a manager right now. I will wait, get a manager, because I'm not paying the $450. And not after you bricked my machine. First off, I can't believe after it's out of warranty, why did he even take the time to help me? That's a good question that came up in the chat here. All of these things. So now the manager gets on and he says, look, you understand, there's only two options in front of me here. You either pay or not pay. And I'm like, no, here's where you need to now escalate it and get an override because of what your tech did and what I was put through. And that's the position I'm at now. I should have been presented that it was out of hardware support and that if we go down this road and you need a replacement, it's going to cost $450. I probably would have opted not to do that refresh and lived with it being plugged in for the time being until I figured something out. That would have been my answer. Now, I have a $1,500 Surface Pro 3 that's a doorstop. Not even a doorstop because it won't even hold a door because it's so thin. It's a brick. It's sitting off to the side. They've escalated it. I have a ticket number. I will follow up with everybody on the next show. Microsoft's supposed to, I have to give them 24 hours, and it's just about 24 hours right now. I will give them till tomorrow. I will call and follow up, and I am going to fight this as hard as I can. My love for Microsoft just exudes this week, as you can tell. I got a great voicemail from Andrew on a follow-up to last week's show on the Synology. Give a listen.
Hey, Mike. It's Andrew, the computer guy. Just listened to your latest show where you went on about the Synology NAS. Just had a few mentions I wanted to make. I've been using Synology probably for the last 7 or 8 years, 3 or 4 different NASs personally, and I've resold a ton of them. They're absolutely great devices. I wanted to make sure to mention that they, at least for the 1, 2, and 4 hard drive models, they have 3 different flavors each. They have the model with the J at the end, which is what you had described that you had purchased. Then they have a model with no letter or anything at the end of the model number. And then they have the same model number with a plus at the end. It's kind of like low, medium, high, good, better, best. I found a lot of the J's, I resold them. And although they were sufficient for lightweight usage, when it really came to data transfer speeds and speeds of their abilities of using the apps, they're significantly slower. Sometimes you'll get the J only has a single core processor, whereas the plus model, the other end of the spectrum, you know, has a quad core. The J may have 512 megabytes of memory, whereas the plus may have 2 gigabytes. So I want to mention that. Also, I just resold one end of last week. And I noticed, and they think they've been out for a while, but Western Digital has their Red Pro series now. And the main thing that I noticed was the difference was that the Western Digital Reds were 5,400 RPM, where the Western Digital Red Pros were 7,200 RPM. I'm sure there may be more differences, but I wanted to mention that out there also for your listeners. If they're looking to get a faster speed, they could go with the Western Digital Red Pro models. Also, you had indicated about Amazon Glacier. It certainly is dirt cheap. I just wanted to point out with that, and I don't know all the ins and outs of it, but the one thing that sticks in my memory from when I researched it a bit ago is that if you have a customer that needs data restored on the spot quickly, Glacier doesn't work that way. It's kind of like you put a ticket in and it starts trickling to your device. So if you have a corporate client or a client who, if they go down, and that's their only source of backup, it might take quite a while to restore the data, and it may be throttled, or there may be bandwidth caps. Whereas the S3 doesn't have a lot of that, which is why S3, although still extremely inexpensive, is much more, or it's a higher price than Glacier. Finally, just wanted to mention that I use the Synologies for their surveillance station as well, and I get some FOSCAM cameras, hook them up. I can get the remote app through port forwarding. I get email notifications. I can see my cameras from my iPhone anytime I'd like. But they do have limitations there where their main Synology OS, when you log into it, uses Java. And a lot of browsers now are starting to block Java, and they've had tons of issues with their Java plugins over the browsers. So people may run into that. But a positive about Synology, they have the backups, but they also have a Time Machine type backup. I don't recall the name, but it makes multiple versions of your files over the course of time to an external or to another NAS, which comes in handy as well. Love the show. Thank you very much. Have a great night.
Andrew, great follow-up in explaining the differences of the models. Where remember, the J is more of a home model, and the Plus is more for the business. And it does get confusing as you dive down into all of the different options. But take a look. The big thing is, how many people are going to be using it? Where are you using it, and what your budget is? And that's the same with the red NAS drives. For a home environment, I don't mind having the 5400 RPMs. But just to give you an example, at today's pricing, a 4 terabyte drive is the pro version is $54 more. So you got to take a look at your budget. How many drives are we talking about? And then maybe use the faster ones for inside the NAS, and a slower red for an enclosure for a backup. That's a way to do it. Lots of things to consider when you're building out and you're speccing out your NAS device for the Synology. But one thing we all agree on, the software, the apps are phenomenal for the Synology NAS. Thank you, Andrew, for taking the time to put that voicemail together. Let's get to a few emails here. This is from Kevin. Hey, Mike, so I finally got my first notifications for the Windows 10 upgrade. First on my home computer yesterday, and then on my work computer today. We are not upgrading at work at present, and I wanted to get rid of the nag, so I came across this page, which even has a simple batch file. I only needed to use step one on my computer. I know we are running down at the end of the free session, but I think more businesses are going to start receiving the nag, and many businesses will not want to upgrade at this time. Also wanted to thank you for sharing the link for the power supply tester a couple episodes back. I already had a tester, but it was just a simple LED light tester. But having the display readout makes life so much easier. Thank you, Kevin. Kevin, that's why I did this show, with the main topic being how to block and prevent Windows 10 from upgrading. So download that control panel and run those options that I discussed earlier. Two emails from Jason, and this is a follow-up to my AOC USB monitor that I couldn't get running last week. Now, I only tried for an hour or so to get it running, and I don't understand something that I continuously make the following mistake. I use the CD that comes with the product. I guess that's just habit. I'll pop the CD in and I'll use that for the driver because it's so much easier than having to go to the manufacturer and download the driver. I do that, and every time I do it, I get myself into trouble. So I uninstalled the program and the drivers 2 nights ago. Went to the manufacturer's website, AOC, downloaded the latest drivers, installed it. It worked like a champ. I plugged in the two USB ports, which you have to plug for power purposes. You might get away, depending on the USB port you plug in. You may have to use, it takes up two USBs. It's the little dongle, it comes out, the second USB. It lit up perfectly as a fourth monitor, because I have three monitors here. I have two landscape and one portrait. I put this down in front, beautiful. works great. One complaint is it's too bright. And there are third-party utilities that are free that I haven't had the time to download yet that could adjust the brightness for me. Other than that, for $69, beautiful, working great, just about ready to give it a thumbs up. But the lesson, don't use the CD that comes with any product. Before you go install, go to the manufacturer's website and download the latest driver. I know. I tell you to do that. I tell clients to do that. But do I do it? No. I don't listen to myself sometimes, and that's how I got into trouble. That's why the USB monitor didn't work. So now, this is Jason. I have an AOC USB monitor that we use to add a second monitor to our laptops when working at home. It is a very awesome monitor. On Windows 7, we had to install the DisplayLink software to get it working. On Windows 10, we plugged it in and it auto-installed the drivers and the DisplayLink software. It's really easy to do. So, you may have a bad one. Also, I bought the 16-inch and it is a great monitor. It's just not the quality of the built-in LCD in my laptop. It has great resolution, but it looks a little washed out on the colors. But overall, it makes life easy when remoting to computers from home. Yes, to add another monitor without a video card, yes, it's very, very, very nice. This is another follow-up. We use the driver pack solution, DPS, for drivers. It's a Russian site software, but we have used it for years, since version 7, and they are now on version 17, and it's awesome, and it's easy to throw on a flash drive and use it anywhere. 10 gig in size. It has an online version. Just be careful, since the online version, it installs so many junk programs. So download the full version via the torrent link on their site, and it's great and doesn't have the junk. One word of caution, don't check every driver and tell it to install. Pick the ones you want, then click install. Sometimes it has multiple versions of the same drivers, and telling it to install all will cause problems. Thanks, Jason. Please send me the link. He didn't include the link. And this is for anybody. I get so many emails from all of you where you talk about great things, and then I got to go through looking for the link. Especially something like this, where there can be a lot of bogus links for it. Jason, if you can just shoot me that link, I will put it in the show notes. Because right now, I'm not going to put anything in the show notes for this particular drivers until Jason sends me the right one, because I don't want to find the wrong driver link and then have someone get the malware or whatever. You know, it'll be bad. This is from Jim. A follow-up to remember the pound sign and episode number missing. I never followed up with this. Everybody notices it's fixed now. Jim writes, I don't know what you did to fix it, but starting with episode 570, the episode numbers are back. Kate nailed it when she said, Mike, I think it's your RSS feed. I went to the RSS feed, and that's exactly where the problem was, and I fixed it. That's why you're getting the episode numbers now. Thank you. That's it for tonight's show. If you use Amazon or know anybody that purchases from Amazon, please use my link. It's amazon.mikenation.net. Your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back to the Mike Tech Show and supports the show. It makes a big difference. Thank you so much. Remember, Instant House Call at instanthousecall.com. Fabs Auto Backup 6 Pro. It's awesome. Link is in the show notes. And also, Tech Nibbles Computer Business Kit version 3. Gotta have it if you're doing the work that I do, if you're a consultant, if you're in the repair business. This kit is invaluable for you with all the different forms. I want to thank everybody for downloading and staying subscribed to the show. I really appreciate it. Next week, there'll be no show, and I'll tweet and Facebook that on Thursday. I have my eye surgery on my left eye on Tuesday morning. I need a day or two to recover. Keep my fingers crossed that that all goes well. And then I will see you back here the week after. So today is the 10th. Next week is the 17th. So look for the 24th being the next show. I'll see you then. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.